The 61st Gene Key. The transformational path for the 61st Gene Key moves from psychosis to sanctity and is the path of inspiration. I love this one. Psychosis to sanctity. So this is the one I'm bound to land myself in trouble with. So let's just accept it. People aren't going to be happy when I label all humans psychotic, you know? But sometimes these people who use these words, they need to be taken on and challenged. You know, it's assumed because they have knowledge that they know more than the rest of us. But there are truths that just need to be spoken, even though it will cut those who claim to be in the know. The dilemma of this whole shadow is knowledge. Knowledge that we learn through the mind. And knowledge is always of the mind. And this gene key concerns the eventual transcendence of the mind. And for those who don't recognize the existence of a higher world or an invisible world or a divine world, for those who consider all states merely activations of neural pathways in the brain and the central nervous system, this won't land easily. We're all psychotic. Psychosis generally points towards a loss of touch with ordinary reality. That's why I say we're all psychotic, because we are all out of touch with ordinary reality. We think that the world that our mind sees is the world. And the sages of all time testify that this is untrue and that there exist planes of reality that are far beyond what we generally refer to as normal. You know, in India, there's long been a tradition of revering madness. You know, people who were detached from ordinary reality were not seen as the village idiot, as became the way of the West. They were seen as touched by God. And they were honoured for their view. And the mad people always bore a resemblance to the wise, to the ecstatics, to the sadhus, whose yoga put them in touch with other planes of beings and giving them otherworldly behaviours. And such people were once revered. But how far we've moved from the magical. Magic's now seen as a backward step in evolution. When I use the term magic, I'm not talking about conjuring spirits. I'm talking about the ability to interface directly with the spirit of life, to feel the rush and whoosh of power coursing through one's blood, and to know that our underlying being is emptiness. Where does all that leave the psychotic? And what does it mean for those of us with the 61st shadow? It means that there's a precarious balance to be struck here. If you go too far from our waking reality and you're unable to return and integrate the experience, then you may well be labelled an unstable psychotic, even though you'll be named that by other psychotics to a lesser degree. And if you don't even dare venture beyond the terrain of the mind, but you stay couched in the false sanctity of the scientific, religious, or any other mindset, then you'll just be a stable psychotic, you know? Are you a stable psychotic? It's good just to be honest, I think. You probably are. I am. And it's okay. That's where we have to begin our journey from. The Gene Keys invites us along a path that begins simply enough. But as you venture deeper and as the transmission of the wisdom bites more deeply into you, you'll find yourself transiting some pretty funky terrain. You know, try the seven sacred seals. That's a mystical part of this synthesis. Do those invocations for a few months and, you know, things will start to get interesting for you. Other dimensions will begin to open up for you. I certainly don't aim in this contemplation to belittle our scientific understanding of the mind or the marvellous work done by those whose lives are given to helping people in mental distress. My point really is that mental distress has grown because of the world that our minds have created. Generally, when you look around, you're not seeing a world created by the heart. You're seeing a world created by the mind. And this is our civilization. It's come about through greed, through lust for power, and fear of death. And that's the world of the shadow frequency. Imagine how different the world might be if we remembered what lay beyond death. We'd very quickly realize that we are accountable for our every act, our every thought, our every word, and our every deed. You know, there's no escaping justice. Justice is the 60th city. The gene key underlying the 61st gene key in the great sequence. Yeah, and it's also one of the three gene keys in this codon ring, the ring of Gaia, the other being the 19th siddhi of sacrifice. The most basic etymology of the word psychosis simply means a condition of the mind. So when we begin to move into states beyond the mind, then we move into territory where the mainstream consciousness, the shadow consciousness, doesn't want to venture. It doesn't go there because science needs to retain its objectivity. And beyond the mind is, it's utterly subjective terrain. And where it gets interesting, though, is when the subjective experiences that lie beyond the mind's three-dimensional thinking are reprocessed through scientific thinking. You know, people like Terence McKenna, for example, you know, who came back from his inner voyages and then wrote a whole science of what he'd experienced. You know, the sciences of the beyond state are quite something. And the gene keys is one of those modalities. Now, we look more at this when we come to the gift and the siddhi. And knowledge can be beautiful and filled with inspiration, but we should be aware of it all the same. You know, in the Kabbalah, the mystical teaching of the Tree of Life, the sphere of knowledge is called Dart, and it's also known as the abyss. And beyond the abyss lies the sphere of wisdom, Binah. And the message is clear. To find wisdom, you have to give up knowledge. Wisdom is alive, it's vibrant, it's wild, spontaneous, illogical, paradoxical. Anyone can gain knowledge. Few become wise. And if you're working with the shadow, look at your systems of thought. Look at the thinking that you hold dear. Look at everything that you've learned. And know that this is a journey of unlearning. The knowledge can be useful. It can be beautiful. It can take you right to the edge, but it can't take you over the gap. Can't take you across the abyss of death. So be gentle with yourself, but be crystal clear about your own mind. It isn't the enemy, but it isn't here to protect you. And we tend to use it to try and make us feel safer. But if we don't feel safe, it's because we aren't accustomed to the states beyond the mind. And this is why the gene keys take you there gradually. You know, they show you how to open your heart softly and over time so that the higher frequencies can change you over time. And I know many people who've sought the inner mysteries too intensely, with too much impatience and fervor, and it's dangerous. It leads to chemical overload. Higher states, they're not the goal. Integration of the higher states is the goal. And that demands that we are in the body, healthy and here and in the world, as we explore what lies beyond this world that we can see. The 61st gift, inspiration. The secret to this gene key, and therefore all life, is creativity. It's a beautiful secret. Who thought that the key to higher consciousness lay in creativity? Perhaps you thought it was in spiritual practice, or in austerities, or in meditation, or prayer. Well, there's some truth in that. But what lies forgotten, what lies neglected in our modern world is the beauty and the wonder and the healing power of creativity. You know, you may know by now, I've mentioned before in my contemplations, that I love green woodwork. You know, give me a knife or an axe and a piece of freshly cut wood and I'm in heaven. You know, generally I like to make eating utensils, you know, spoons and bowls and things like that, because they're useful. And they're a lovely gift to give people. But I've discovered that when my mind is perturbed, or if I'm in doubt or confusion, then the moment I begin to create, my mind lets go and it enters into a kind of fallow state. It begins to empty out. And after a while, all the dross has come out of the mind and only the essential remains. And also, I have a beautiful spoon in my hands. And I know that anyone who is done a lot of creativity will know exactly what I mean by this, you know, this emptying out. All kinds of creativity has this effect of soothing the mind, and especially music. Music is the greatest salve for a troubled soul, you know, playing, listening, singing, it doesn't matter which. Music allows the mind to find its natural geometry, its harmonic basis within the world. And this is the gift of inspiration, of being inspired, of listening to that which comes from within, from beyond the veil, and allowing that to re-imprint your awareness with its truth. And the layers and frequencies of music all reach different centers inside us. You know, Mozart softens the heart. Bach brings order to the mind. Rachmaninoff stirs the body of ecstasy. Folk music brings us down to earth. Rock music stirs the lower centers. Chants activate the higher centers. The frequencies are endless and exhilarating. There's a piece of music for every moment in the universe. And this is what inspiration is. It's playing with the music of creation. You can do it through dance, art, building, gardening, cooking, any aspect of human endeavor that has at its heart the attunement to a higher harmonic principle. You know, to be inspired, it means to be filled with breath, with life, spiro, from the Latin, I breathe. And this then is the secret to how we can break out of our psychosis, our stuckness, our head trips. We have to experience what it feels like to be God. And so we have to learn to be a creator. And in life, always try and remember this. If you're feeling down, or if you're feeling disturbed, if your mind is pursuing you, take up a guitar or a trowel or a pencil and let the feeling emerge and let your soul express its longing beneath. When I was traveling in Canada a few years ago, I stayed in a beautiful house in the woods. A kind patron and a friend of the Gene Keys opened up his home for me to stay in for a few days. And the house was right in the woods, but out at the back of the house, he built this beautiful garden with walkways and kind of temples and seats and ponds and dragonflies right into the landscape. And it was beautiful, clearly a labor of love. And as I sat with him one evening, he shared the story of how the garden came to be. You know, his beloved wife had died of cancer. And distraught with grief and loneliness, he took up his tools and he began this work. And he'd never given the garden much attention before, but now, every day, he rose at dawn and poured his grief into his work. The result was, a year or so later, a beautiful, exquisite garden, a clear mind and a clear heart, and a testament to his beloved. You know, that's the alchemical power of the 61st gift. The 61st Gene Key is a key of secrets. You'll see its specialness in the city, and it's always connected deeply to the theme of death. And if you have this Gene Key, your life is a contemplation of death. And you mustn't turn away from this work. It will fill you with life. The answers will come. The memory of the beyond will return in time. You must listen inwardly for the music of life, and you must let it move you in creative work. Being born in a body is to be born wounded. And inspiration is a way of healing this wound. And as you learn to heal it inside yourself, so you'll learn to heal it within others. And they'll be drawn to you and your work. They'll be drawn to your music. I have one final thing to say about this 61st gift. It's all human. It's about the meaning of the word human. And I'd like to say that the word human really derives from a silent word whose meaning is to let go of. You know, but I made that up. But it'd be great if it was. To let go of. Because that's our sadness, our joy, and the source of our depth. That there's great grief within humans, in our ancestry, in our forgetting. And we are a sacrifice. No matter how much we run from it, our lives are a sacrifice for the sake of the whole, for the sake of Gaia. And this is the delicate fabric of the ring of Gaia, that we're here to heal our hearts and to give our breath, our inspiration, for the sake of this beautiful planet. The 61st city, sanctity. The city of sanctity. How to approach that which is holy. Some teachers tell us that nothing is sacred, nothing is holy, nothing can stand out from the whole and be glorified above anything else. The non-dualists speak this truth, for example. But it's simply one language of truth, and there are other languages. The 61st gene key seeks the holy. It looks for the sacred by creating it. Sanctity is such a subtle city. You know, look at the chop of this hexagram. Look at its shape. There's something hidden inside. It's even named Inner Truth in the original I Ching. The mirror of psychosis is called kenosis. It's a wonderful wordplay. Psychosis to kenosis with a K. Kenosis is the emptying out of one's will in order that the divine can occupy you. It's remarkable that so little is made of this by Christians, because the term kenosis derives from a Greek word in the Bible referring to Jesus. He emptied himself out. That's what it means. It's remarkably similar to the Buddhist notion of shunyata, also means emptiness. But I'm deeply drawn to the word because it's about becoming empty in order that one can be filled with God, with the divine. So in psychosis, your mind is also occupied, but with the spirits and the nebulae of the shadow frequency realm, with all those thoughts. And if you empty yourself out, but your temple isn't clean, you attract disturbed energies. So only if you've cleaned the inner temple can the higher emanations enter in. And even the smallest speck of fear will keep the divine from entering. It's like the idea of the unicorn. You know, the unicorn won't touch anything impure. If it does, it will die. So if you wish to invite a unicorn into your stable, you can't leave even a speck of dust in there. And to court the divine is to empty oneself out. You have to supplicate yourself before life. And you can't hide any part of your soul or your past. You're not here to judge yourself, but to simply see yourself for what you are. And only then can you come cleanly before the altar. And the 61st city uses this kind of inner language. It learns humility. It must bow in sacrifice. It understands divine justice. It knows it must become impeccable if it's to know its highest emanation. You know, the divine, the higher subtle bodies spoken of in the 22nd gene key, these have never left us. They just can't express themselves through these dense layers. We just have to polish ourselves a lot. In this 61st city, it's a path of prayer, of supplication and worship. And through its creative living, its inspiration, it remembers the higher world as flashes, as fragments. You'll experience brief moments of celestial transport, and you'll then fall again and you begin your work again. But the work of being human gives you these glimpses, and the glimpses keep on leading you, encouraging you to go on climbing, to go on emptying yourself out. And in this work, lifetimes don't matter. Your love of the pure, of the high places, your memory of the music that you've heard, of the voice of God, will keep leading you. This is a beautiful path to God. And God is also in the geometry. The mental plane is confused and embroiled with the emotional plane at the shadow level. And the geometry of these planes is chaotic. Each plane of being has a living geometry. And when the perfect geometry of the higher planes descends, even for a moment, it instantaneously aligns the geometry of all the lower subtle bodies like iron filings following a magnet. And this is how Christ performed his miracles. That higher geometry worked through his aura on all those present in his field. Many psychotics came to him, people disturbed by so-called demons. And when they say that he cast out the demons, it means that the living, perfect geometry of truth just realigned all those subtle layers so that those minds were instantly emptied and reordered. Rebooted, if you like. That's kenosis. You see, the mind isn't what we think it is. The mind exists on a plane of being, the mental plane. And that plane attracts thought forms and it repels thought forms. And the purer the thought form, the more perfect its geometry in our aura. And the less pure the thought form, the more disturbing its geometry. And our thoughts thus arrange themselves around these forms. It's all really musical. You know, this is how the cosmos is made up of vibration. We're vibration. It's all just vibration. And the music of selfishness, it's catastrophic in our aura. Whereas the music of sanctity, it's so refined and pure that it can't be missed. The aura of sanctity is a rare phenomenon. And if you're able to really attune deeply to a higher being like Christ or Buddha or one of these avatars, or any other pure one, alive now or from the past, you can pick up the aura of holiness. It's unmistakable, and it will change you forever. It's also interesting that many of us with this gene key will live lives of irreverence, the exact opposite of the holy life. You know, they may even take pride in debunking that which is sacred and holy. You know, the holy life, though, you know, it can be misunderstood easily. The holy life is not the perfect life. It begins with inspiration, but then it becomes a life of higher striving, the life of self-emptying, in which all that we've learned is released and let go. Death is coming to us. It's coming to us all. And the 61st city has to know what that means, not out of fear, but out of utter conviction. Once you've sipped the divine, even for a moment, you can think of nothing else. It takes courage to follow this path. It's a lonely but lovely path. And here, in these words of a wonderful Chinese poet known as Cold Mountain, named after the mountain where he lived and roamed wild, here he encapsulates, I think, the searing beauty of kenosis, the art of emptying. I delight in the everyday way, myself among mist and vine, rock and cave. Wild lands feeling so boundlessly free, white clouds, companions in idleness. Roads don't reach this human realm. You only climb this high in no mind. I sit here on open rock, a lone night, a full moon drifting up Cold Mountain.